Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. First 20 minutes of the program today, we will have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, and she joins us each and every Thursday, so we look forward to having her. And then we're going to be talking about Obama, his Social Security, and we're also going to be talking about what if gold disappears from the stores in Thailand? Do you think that will have an effect on the U.S. gold market? But first, let's get started today with the market report. Gold today had a little bit of a kickback from yesterday, but it's losing strength here as after the markets closed at 130 today. We're looking at gold up 170. At 1562, silver at 2775, platinum was up 4 at 1539, and palladium up 10 at $735. The index today down 0.25 at 8223, and crude oil, they hit crude oil today, that was down over a dollar, 1.18 at 93.46, and the stock markets today are still giddy with new and improved numbers, the Dow. You got to remember, folks, I mean, how many companies are actually in the Dow? Not very many. But that did set another record for the third straight day. And you had the Dow up 62 points at 14,865. NASDAQ up 3 at 3,300. S&P up 5 at 1593. The yield on the 10-year was 1.79, and I'm looking at a picture of Obama putting some sort of a big ribbon around Warren Buffett's neck with some sort of a medal that he's receiving. Just kind of really disgusts you when you see pictures like this, knowing what they've actually done and what they're continuing to do. But I believe, good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. I have something I'd like to put around their necks also. It's not precisely a ribbon, but regardless.
Yes, I understand.
There's things that you can...
Now.
I too would like to issue my own private little award. Put your neck over here, folks, and we're going to, Washington, step up.
Yeah. And while we're doing this, here's a little bench for you to stand on. But anyway, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, as she does each and every Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hi, Al. Hey, I'll donate the tree, you know.
There's a lot of people who are eager to do that. A lot of competition. We've had people, they'll donate ropes, trees, benches, bunch of things.
Well, all righty.
We're having too much fun with this.
Yeah, yes. How are things going with you, Wendy?
They're okay. I mean, you know, it's pretty here in North Carolina. We got some sunshine, and it's in the 80s already. Everything is yellow with all the pollen, of course. But we got some storms moving in, so we even have some tornado warnings in effect soon. So, you know, it's springtime in the Carolinas.
Yes. Well, with all that pollen, I bet you have some remedies for that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we do. People tend to get the upper respiratory, sinus, itchy, watery eye thing, and we have several products that help with that, like the Herbal Eye Wash, the Echinacea Deluxe for sinuses, and we even have really good all-in-one for any kind of congestion and phlegm. So, and actually, astragalus root, people can tap into that as often as they like because it really does work on the system in four ways. And I'm going to be talking about that in the near future, about some of these natural anti-germotics that you can tap into. Aside from your foods, we also can use, of course, the herbs that are real strong in those. So there's lots we can do to protect ourselves.
And increasingly, that's what we have to do, is protect ourselves in advance rather than wait until you've been afflicted. Now, I don't know that you can protect yourself absolutely in terms of everything, but you can increase the probability that you're not going to, that you can avoid catching diseases. Here's one of the, here's one of the problems. We've got something from Russia today. The headline is tuberculosis continued drug resistant strain of deadly disease alarms doctors worldwide. The world is in the middle of a tuberculosis pandemic. What was once a disease of undeveloped nations has raced across continents with thousands of cases in Asia and Europe. The disease may infect up to 2 million people by 2015. I don't know. Is tuberculosis something that we can resist by amping up our immunity system? Or there's things we can do? Or is this something beyond our control?
Oh, no. There's lots we can do. We have, you know, a lot of foods and herbs that will give us a lot of antioxidant enzymes and power up our own immune system, which is geared to deal with these things. It's just, it needs the nutrition to do that. Like I've pointed out, you know, our elderly, you know, it's not that their immune system is getting old and is not working. It's dying of old age. It's just that because our elderly probably, if they get older, they don't always eat so well. And their immune system is starving for nutrition. So if we just, you know, make sure we're cognizant of all this, you can, you know, there's that old saying, Al, the time to learn how to shoot the gun isn't during the war, it's before the war.
I understand.
This is an opportune moment for everybody to, you know, learn how to do their self-defense, stock up on their ammo, but don't forget about your immune system ammo and make sure that you power up that immunity now while you can.
You know, the article says what was once, they're talking about tuberculosis, what was once a disease of undeveloped nations or underdeveloped nations has raced across the continent and so on, that what I would read that and say, I'm going to make the assumption that underdeveloped nations would also be nations that had inadequate food supplies. And by almost definition, I don't think these people are eating well in underdeveloped third world nations. And it suggests that, you know, it's an obvious thought that if you're not getting enough nutrition, you're going to be more susceptible to disease. It doesn't take a genius, a doctor, or whatever, to figure this out if you don't have the right. And we live at a time when our foods are no longer as nutritious as they once were.
Right.
You know, by relying on fast foods and ding-dongs, ho-hos, and whatever else they sell down at the store,
mm-hmm.
we become, our diet comes to resemble, in some regards, the third world people that aren't getting proper nutrition, and the point being, now we become more susceptible, so
right.
it's consistent. You know,
well, just
take care of yourself.
Right, and I know it seems overwhelming, but you can just start simply by making sure you get more antioxidants into the diet, because antioxidants kind of revolutionized the immune system or immunology field about 20 years ago when they were discovering vitamin A and C and vitamin E as a mm-hmm. biochemistry boost to the immune system. And the other thing that you want to make sure you get is foods with selenium and zinc, which help your body manufacture more antioxidants. And these are going to be enzymes and vitamins and minerals that the immune system absolutely has to have to fight off infection. So whether it's viral or bacterial, if you got that nutrition going, you have a better chance. And of course, there's foods that you can tap into. If you want to, you know, get the orange and yellow pigment foods and the green leafy vegetables, they're going to have more antioxidants in there. If
right.
you want to tap into more zinc and selenium foods, you can, you know, kidney beans and cashews and wheat germ and pumpkin seeds and that kind of thing. Also, you know, another general antioxidant food group other than your fruits and vegetables and your nuts and seeds is lentils. And guess this, even chocolate. Of course, I love chocolate. But, you know, don't overdo the chocolate there. And make sure it's dark chocolate if you're going to have it.
You can eat all the chocolate you want. Just depends on how much sugar you're going to take along with it.
Yeah.
Well, there's the problem. Oh, I love chocolate, but I don't necessarily love it without any sugar in it. You know.
Well, the dark chocolate is going to have more antioxidants. So it is a bit more bitter, but it is going to be more powerful that way. But, you know, the ancient world, you know, they tapped into a lot of these herbs that were powerhouses for antioxidants, like milk thistle and ginkgo and ginseng and, you know, of course, your cayenne hot peppers,
mm-hmm.
And, of course, garlic and onion and ginger root, all these things. And they may have not understood on a cellular microbial level how all these foods helped them. They just knew they felt better. So, I think we're coming full circle. You know, I think as modern medicine, you know, used to take natural plants to make their drugs, and now a lot of it's synthetic. I think they're coming around full circle that people are noticing, you know, well, let's see, why do I want to take that drug when I can find exactly what I need in this ginger root plus some, you know, other things? So I think people are noticing that they have more power than they thought they had, you know?
I think one of the things that intrigues me is we know that by taking certain drugs to suppress certain diseases, we wind up simply creating super strains of those diseases.
Right.
There's 100,000 microbes at a certain point. We can wipe out, who knows, 99,000 of those 100,000 microbes, but 1,000 survive, and they're the ones that essentially carry their resistance to the antibiotic onto the future generations. The result is we are creating stronger and stronger strains of disease. Now,
but do the
diseases develop resistance to our antioxidants? They do to the drugs,
but
they don't to antioxidants. Now, this is an interesting idea, an interesting insight to me.
That's the beauty of it. I mean, this is scientific knowledge. Scientists in China and all over the world, even American scientists, know that. The super killer bugs that we have today, you know, created by, you know, the antibiotics for the last, you know, 70 years or so, these super killer bugs don't have a resistance to a supercharged immune system that has enzymes and antioxidants working for you. Actually, a lot of the nutrition that you pump into your immune system, it utilizes that to make those bacterial and viral pathogens just kind of explode and just rips them apart. And so your immune system can have those super bugs for lunch if you just power it up a little bit. So, the antibiotic thing has been a double-edged sword. It surely has. Pandora's box been opened by all that. And so, but the thing is, you know, even the mutating pathogens out are not any match for an immune system that is healthy and well and ready to go.
What happens in the relationship between the mother and the child if mom has amped up her immune system and perhaps she's been exposed to a particular disease but wound up suppressing it, defeating it with her immune system? Is that something she's able to pass on to offspring, or is it just an acquired immunity that she's acquired for herself, but it doesn't go any further?
No, anything that a mother has allowed her immune system to create an antibody and defeat without being suppressed by vaccines or antibiotics, that immunity is passed on to the child. It is definitely passed on. So if you've got a mother that hasn't really been using antibiotics, hasn't really taken many vaccinations, that baby that she's going to have and probably breastfeed is going to have a better immune system than mothers who have, you know, taken the mainstream medical approach to health and wellness. So, yeah, definitely you pass on immunity. You do.
And therefore, the implication is that if you're a mother and you are or you're planning to become one and have children, you're actually going to give your children a greater resistance to disease by staying away from antibiotics. Because the antibiotics, as near as I'm able to understand, you correct me, the antibiotics don't create an immunity that you pass to your child, or do they?
No, the antibiotics are, they suppress your immune system and they attempt to, you know, take care of the pathogen, the bacteria itself, okay? If it is an antibiotic that has been designed to attack that particular pathogen, you know, correctly, and if it's mutated, then the antibiotic's not going to be much good. But the interesting thing is, Al, they're coming out with new vaccines to be able to inoculate children as soon as they are born. It has been a medical steadfast rule that, you know, aside from the hepatitis vaccine, the child's immune system is too fragile, too immature. It can't handle a vaccination. But now they've come up with synthetic vaccines that they say will actually stimulate and strengthen a young immature immune system like a newborn baby, so they can vaccinate up to, you know, 1,000 pathogens in one swoop. Can you
imagine? It's one of those things. That sounds like a great advertising.
I know. That is totally insane. They hope to have those newborn vaccines ready in about 2 years. So,
and what happens if they don't work? How soon do you suppose it would be apparent and that they don't work, or how soon might it be apparent that there are consequences, unforeseen consequences? I mean, this is the sort of thing, once you take this sort of vaccine,
right,
you'd be confident that it's not going to have an adverse effect that could reach you as the child grows to be 20 years old.
I'm sorry to say to mothers out there, if you're having babies now or you're thinking of having babies, you know, get an experienced midwife and have them at home. You know, do not even go near a hospital. I mean, if I were doing motherhood all over again like I did back in the 80s and 90s, I'd have my child at home.
You're talking about doing motherhood in the 80s and the 90s. It's kind of like me thinking about the hippie thing in the 60s or something like that. Yeah. If I were doing that all over again, I'd do it. Here's the way I do it. Here's one other way I do it. We have probably about 45 seconds left. So why don't you tell folks where they can find you at thepowerherbs.com,
right, an
apothecary herbs shop and so on, and give them contact information. And
yes, we will. You can go to the website, thepowerherbs.com. When you get there, that's the Apothecary Herbs official website. Or you can call us toll-free and request a free product catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, you can order by phone, mail, or website. And we'll get that out to you priority, and you have it in about 3 days. So if you're immune-boosting, folks, we got you covered.
Good, Wendy. Good talking to you. We'll look forward to hearing from you again next Thursday.
All
right,
thank you, Al,
for being here, and talk to you again in about a week.
Okay, bye, Melody.
I'm Alfred Addis.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Whispering Melody Cederstrom. Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And I don't know if Melody has or does not have a special today. Do you, Melody?
Yes, we do. We're going to carry through the special that we had earlier this week on the Mint State 62 $20 Liberty Gold pieces for $1,830. And that also includes a Morgan Silver dollar in almost uncirculated to uncirculated condition for $1,830 for your Mint State coin. And we're also going to continue the British Sovereign. We had David Krieger on yesterday, and we spoke about foreign gold, world gold, and the British Sovereigns that carry almost a quarter ounce of gold. And these are the King George's. They were minted from 1911 to 1925, and they are $410 each. And if you purchase a large quantity of those, we can lower that price on you. For you also. 20 or more, they are dropped down to $405. So great price on both coins. And the prices with gold being up today, we're still offering yesterday's prices. So give us a call, folks, at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you get to our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. And our newsletter is beginning to grow. We had added Jim from West Virginia. We placed his article in there this last issue. And we have another one coming in the beginning week, and they're great articles along with Al's. As we all know, Al produces some fantastic insight on his articles. I'm even beginning to do some little ones, a recap of the week in the metals and coins. And, of course, we join forces with Wendy Wilson, and they do a health issue with several other writers. So it's beginning to grow slowly, and people take a lot of time and effort putting these, writing these articles. So make sure you get to the website, DGS Coins, and sign up for it. It's very easy to. And you can also listen to any of the radio archives from the website also. And in the near future, we're redesigning the website. We're looking to perhaps, we're going to test online purchasing. Not for everything, maybe just for a couple of coins or two, maybe bullion coins, maybe specials that you'll be able to purchase right from the website. So hopefully that'll be done here in the next month. So make sure you continue to check out the website. Thank you. And speaking of gold and the major manipulations, Al, Cyprus came out and there was an article, and actually I think it was from the BBC. They came out, they were going to sell some of its gold reserve to help support the bailout. And they were looking to sell about 341 million euros worth of gold. And they talked about they needed it. Their total bullion reserve stood at 13.9 tons at the end of February. And, of course, that was according to data from the World Gold Council. And, you know, it goes on. And, of course, it came yesterday when they certainly were trying to keep the prices suppressed on gold. We had a big down day yesterday in gold. Then CNBC, about 10 hours ago, came out and said, the spokesperson at the Central Bank of Cyprus told them today that there was no such thing being discussed. The decision to sell the gold is a decision to be taken by the board of the Central Bank of Cyprus. No such thing has been discussed or is in the process of being discussed. And there was just so many rumors flying about, and this is just one of them. So, again, folks, this is what they do. Confusion, both from, you would think, from the BBC and CNBC. And you have to remember, too, the BBC doesn't really, they reported about the Lagarde's flat that was searched when the initial initial story was being broke about Cyprus, and when they were still trying to decide what they were going to be doing. They haven't made any final decisions as yet. And then she comes out today and, you know, she talks about how the economic world no longer looks as dangerous as it did 6 months ago. So it kind of makes you wonder, you know, you get your flat searched, and I guess you'll say anything, Al.
It's called an attitude adjustment.
Yes.
This is how we explain the theory of economics to certain officials who don't seem to understand what's going on. We kick in their doors. You understand? And then they say, well, things are great, you know.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I don't know. The whole thing.
I know.
If I was just up, you know, if I was on the moon and I could watch all of this from the moon, I just sit back there and you could hear me laughing. You could hear, without radio, you could hear me laughing all the way from the moon down here to Earth. But here I am. It's like being, whether I like it or not, I'm on the Titanic with the rest of the people. And you're trying to explain, no, that's a big hole. That's a big hole in the boat. This thing's going down. They say, oh, no, it can't possibly sink. I don't know. It's one of those things. On the one hand, it makes you wince. On the other hand, it makes you get that mad laughter going, you know.
Well, something not to laugh about, I guess. The filibuster failed, and the gun bill cleared the Senate. And what's amazing, and that was today, what's amazing is, you know, these people, we know the pro-gun control media, particularly CNN, was actually thanked by a pro-gun senator for the support. They're just in your face anymore, Al. Biden also thanked MSNBC. They thanked all these pro-gun control programs. I guess CNN ran two full days of programming as the propaganda push for the legislation.
Part of the problem you have with the gun control movement is that some reports indicate that the number of people who own guns in this country is diminishing.
Mm-hmm.
And as it goes down, and it's in the vicinity of 50%, where it was 60-70% at one point, if I'm understanding correctly, the number of people who actually own firearms right now is down in the neighborhood of 50%. Well, that means this is an issue, right? And so the politicians will take advantage of this issue, and they'll push it a lot harder and a lot further than they would if 60% of the people still own guns, or 70% or whatever. They could never make it then, but they might be able to pull it off at 50%. We still have the Constitution, however, to hopefully protect us against these SOBs. It says you have the right to keep and bear arms. They're not going to be able to overcome that without a constitutional amendment. They have to go back and repeal the Second Amendment or alter it by means of constitutional amendment, and that requires two-thirds of the people in Congress. They have to support a proposal for the amendment, and it requires ratification by three-quarters of the states. Very tough. Hard to get past that Second Amendment. They're not going to be able to overcome the Second Amendment, but they keep whittling away at it in a practical way. They say, oh, we're not denying your right to keep and bear arms. We're just going to deny your right to keep and bear ammunition and magazines that hold more than 10 bullets. And one day, who knows? You're going to still have the right to keep and bear flintlocks, although you may not be able to find any flint. They're not playing by the rules, and they understand that. But they play like lawyers, and they say, "Well, we can do this. We can regulate. We can control." And net result is dangerous. We've probably talked about it on this program in the past, but the preamble to the Bill of Rights tells us what the purpose of the Bill of Rights is. And it tells us what the purpose and by of all of the Bill of Rights, and it tells us what the purpose is for the Second Amendment. And it is, it expressly, people aren't familiar with a document called Preamble to the Bill of Rights. Most people are not, but you can find it. It's on the internet. And it's not, you know, patriot mythology or whatever. It's the cover letter that was sent with the first proposed amendments. They proposed 13 amendments back in 1791, 89. They proposed them in 1789, and they attached a cover letter signed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives and by the Clerk of the House of Representatives and the President of the Senate, who was at the time John Adams, who was also Vice President of the United States. And they say the purpose, it says the conventions of a number of states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. The purpose of the 10 amendments that were ratified, and we currently call the Bill of Rights, the purpose was to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. I don't have any powers under the Constitution. Melody doesn't have any powers under the Constitution, and neither do most of you. The only people having powers under the Constitution of the United States are the employees and officers, elected officials, under the federal government. And Tenements supposed to prevent them from misconstruing or abusing the powers of the Constitution. And the Second Amendment is one of those 10. And the only thing it can ultimately mean is that it is, our Second Amendment is intended to protect us against the federal government. And that's not my opinion. That's what's inherent in the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and you can look that up. You'll find it on government websites. It's the Google it, preamble to the Bill of Rights. Read it closely, and you'll realize the purpose. It's not to hunt deer. It's not to hunt ducks. All right? It's not for sport shooting. There's nothing to do with that. It's all about protecting the people of the states of the Union from the federal government. That is the intent. And, of course, the federal government wants you to get rid of those guns because they know the intent also. And they're hoping you don't find out. They also know that they are abusing and misconstruing the powers of the Constitution, and that's why they want to see that Second Amendment disappear. They're afraid some of you are going to take it seriously. So we live in interesting times, and it becomes even more interesting when you read a little history and you begin to understand and appreciate what's really going on. We have people don't want to go duck hunting. You know, Second Amendment has nothing to do with that. It's not about that. Huh? Duck hunting is irrelevant. It's not significant. But keeping your politicians in line, that is significant. What else do we have, Melody?
I believe we have a caller. We have Joe from Arkansas.
All right, Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Yeah, hello. Am I on the air?
Yep.
Yes, you are.
Yep.
I want to comment on the Second Amendment issue that you're talking about. And that's it. I would think that once they get this background checks bill passed, that will give them everything they want, because then, you know, that's registration. So they'll know who has all the guns, where all the guns are and who has them. And then once they have that information, they can do something like find some pretext for calling a national emergency and say, because of the emergency, you know, we have to collect everybody's guns. And don't worry, we'll give them back to you as soon as the emergency is over, and because we've got the list of who has what belongs to everybody, you know, we'll be able to do that. And so then they'll collect all the guns, and then once they've got all the guns collected because of the national emergency, because they knew where they all are because of the background checks, then they will be able to steal everybody's property and start the mass slaughter that they want, the mass murder that they want. So I think the background check is, if there's all background checks on all gun sales and gun transfers, that'll give them everything they want. And they don't really care what the law is or what the Constitution says.
No, they don't care what the law is. They have become lawless and treasonous. They're endeavoring to incorporate us into some sort of a national a North American union with Canada and Mexico. Attempts have been made since at least the Bush administration, and presumably that goal is still there. They have no power in the Constitution to tie us into Canada and Mexico, and they don't care. This is just treason, and they do it anyway, and it's part of the reason why they definitely, because they're committing treason, they know they can't trust the American people. If we figure it out, we may react, and they don't want us to react with firearms, so they want us to voluntarily disarm. So, as you say, Joe, as you imply, we're living in interesting times. Government wants us disarmed. It's a lot easier to control disarmed people than it is to control those who are, you know, adequately protected with their own firearms. So we have to stand up and do what we can. Got to try to hang on to those guns as by whatever means possible, because if you study work from Jews for the Preservation of Firearms, right, they have an organization and a website and whatever. They have created a list of all of the countries that have had gun control, took the guns away from the people, and what followed quickly, relatively quickly, is genocide. They start shooting their own people. They won't shoot you if you're armed, but once you're disarmed, Bubba, you're going to have the biggest problem you have ever, ever seen or imagined in this life will appear in the event the government persuades people to abandon their firearms. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here at Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about Second Amendment rights, and the purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect the people of the states of the Union from the federal government. That was the purpose. It's not about duck hunting, or it's not even about shooting the English if they choose to invade again, or if the Chinese march across the Bering Strait and they start invading North America. It wasn't about that. The founders thought the principal threat they had was the federal government. They didn't trust it as far as they could throw it, and therefore we had the Bill of Rights, and including the Second Amendment, to protect us from the federal government. Founders understood it was the principal enemy, adversary, that existed in this country. It wasn't about England and foreign countries and the rest. That's government. They're the ones you got to keep an eye on. Melody, you've got something I think you want to talk about right now.
Well, yes, we're talking about, you know, we're worried about them killing us. Well, we're actually killing ourselves in many different ways. We look at, there's an article that we talked about during the break where there was a study. And it was published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology. Try to say that three times. And today's adults are so unhealthy, they are 15 years older than their parents and grandparents at the same age. And they looked at 6,000 adults from the ages 20 to 50 over a 25-year period, and they found the younger generations have poor health and a range of issues, including blood pressure and weight. It revealed men in their 30s were 20% more likely to be overweight than in previous generations. Women in their 20s are twice as likely to be obese than those 10 years ago. Blood pressure also increased among the younger generation of both men and women, while younger men are more likely to have diabetes than their dads and granddads were. So we don't have to worry about anybody killing us. We're killing ourselves. No one cares. You see these pushes for better health and so forth. But then we take the look at the Obamacare, We look to see, you know, the death panels that are being set up. You will be rejected care as you age. You have movements through these, you know, the same baby boomers who wanted abortions approved, legal, and all these changes. Now they want to have the right to have assisted dying at the end of their life. Mm-hmm. So it's all about death, Al.
I understand, and that's exactly part of the reason. You look at this, and you can see that the government is not averse to us dying relatively young.
No.
Now, we can debate what the reasons are, and some people would say it's spiritual, and some people would say it's merely, you know, financial. I don't know what the explanation is. I'm inclined to look at the financial end of it and just say, look, they don't want you to live long enough to collect much out of Social Security. That money's been spent. It's gone. They don't want to pay that back, even a fraction of it. And one of the easiest ways to eliminate the obligation of Social Security is just see, fine, you retire at 65. We'll give you a couple of years and then bang, pull the plug. Get out of here. You're not giving government any more money. They don't need you. You are an expense rather than an asset. You're no longer a human resource. You're just a pure consumer. And since the government's obligated to pay you money, they don't want to. They are not averse to you dying young. Now, they're not going to come out under the programs we're talking about. We're not suggesting that government is out there shooting people. But they are allowing things in our economy, in our food system, in our lifestyle. They're allowing them to go unchallenged, unexplained, and the result is we become increasingly unhealthy. Melody talked about problems they have with younger people being older, 15 years older than their parents were at the same age. All right? And it implies that their life expectancy will be reduced by 15 years, maybe more. What's the key to that, Melody? What do you think is the key? We've got nutrition problems. We have inadequate nutrition. We can point to a bunch of different possible explanations for this decline. We have products on the market that only a fool would take if they understood what was in the products. But one of the big things is just exercise. Mm-hmm. We have a nation that has become, how do we get all these obese people? How do we get people that have diabetes in their 20s and even younger, in their teens, and children having diabetes? We're spending too much time on the internet. We need to go outside and play ball, you know, or have a real job where we do physical work rather than just shuffle some papers.
You know, a lot of people will talk about, well, gee, you know, government, they don't control what you eat.
I agree.
You can eat. Yeah, but no.
Well, that isn't entirely true. They do.
They control subsidies to all of these multinational corporations through all their genetically modified foods. So they support it in a different manner. I believe half the people wouldn't be obese because of the stuff that's in the food. That's what makes them obese. I remember my grandmother. She was a big woman. She didn't do much. You know, she didn't do much, but she still lived to be 90. She smoked every day. You know, she ate whatever she wanted, and my grandfather did everything for her. You know, but they were still outside, and they had healthy food.
Yeah.
They had healthy food. But no, the government does it through the subsidies.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Government by subsidizing the genetically modified foods. There are people with deep and legitimate concerns as to whether these genetically modified foods could possibly be healthy. They are concerned that they may be adverse to our health. They may, you know, cause problems down the road that we may not be able to easily escape. And why do we have the genetically modified foods?
Money.
That's exactly right. The people that are making it are giving great political campaign contributions, also known as bribes, to congressmen, senators, presidents, and they are essentially buying the government to broker laws rather than legislate laws. They just broker these laws. All right, they'll put more money in the pockets of the GMO manufacturers. Great, because the GMO manufacturers will then put more money in the pockets of the politicians. But no one is interested in the best interests of the American people. Talk about it. but not many people can demonstrate that they are really working for the betterment of the general American people, the average people. I'm not working for that. Working for corporate profits, and it's killing us. It's exposing all of us to great damage, and it's part of what you have to do. Financial survival is necessarily based on biological survival, and you people have to take care of yourself in terms of food and exercise. And Wendy Wilson was talking about what you can do to maintain your immunity and so on. You got to take that responsibility, because the people you're trusting to take that responsibility for you are betraying that trust.
You know, we talk about exercise. You look at these poor babies today. You look at the children. I mean, we walk to school. I mean, you know, simple exercise. You walk to school. Now they have the buses picking you up on these you know, young children at their doorsteps. Parents drive them down to the end of the lane and sit with them.
I understand, but you're not going to get rid of school buses, because there's not only
I'm talking about, they used to walk to a school bus stop.
Yeah.
Now the bus stops are in front of their house. So there's no, I mean, they walk from the front door to the...
Yeah, but even there's a safety situation. People are concerned about the safety of their children in this environment. There's nothing, I know you're not even advocating, I don't believe you're advocating getting rid of school buses, but it's part of, it's just another illustration. We don't get enough physical activity.
Yeah, to where we used to. And so when you look at that, you know, age, you know, 15 years, that's big.
That's enormous.
It's enormous.
That's enormous. It's an enormous situation. When you start to see, if that statistic is accurate, it means that the life expectancy for Western nations is probably going to begin to decline. Now, if that's not absolute evidence that your standard of living is being diminished, I don't know what is. When people start dying at a younger age, that means the society's going down. And the government's going to sit there and say, well, it's not our fault. We're doing everything. The government's in this. The FDA is bought and paid for by the different pharmaceutical firms and big corporations. It is government's fault. It's also our fault, because we are dumb enough to trust the government to work on our behalf. They're not working on behalf of the general public. They are working on behalf of the government itself. Special interests, New World Order, North American Union, they got big plans. But those plans do not include keeping you and me alive. This goes back to some degree to the Second Amendment. If they're willing to establish programs by virtue of the FDA's rulings and regulations, for example, and these programs ultimately reduce our life expectancy, if they're not averse to reducing our life expectancy, then these are not our friends. They're not our associates. They're not the people that are working for us. They're not here to help us. And that makes maintaining your right to keep and bear arms even more important. This is the kind of information that indicates government is not ultimately averse to shooting you and me. If they're willing to put out foods that are profitable, but contrary to the best, to the health of the consumer, but profitable for the corporations, if that's their motivation, and they're willing to see us die, lose years of our life, then it becomes clear that you need to be protected against that possibility in more difficult times, when other governments have opted for genocide, putting people in camps. They say, oh, it can't happen here. I'm going to tell you, it can happen anywhere you have a government. And it's happened around the world at one point or another. So in any case, we live in dangerous times. And part of the point behind all of this is you have to learn to rely on yourself to provide whatever it is you think you need for your personal, your biological, for your financial survival. You have to learn to think independently. You have to make your own choices and store up whatever it is you think is, it may be required in the future. And no one knows exactly what that's going to be, but certainly one of the possibilities is gold and silver and firearms and food and water and who knows what all you can be storing. But you cannot count on government to take care of you, and that means you have to learn to take care of yourself. So what else do we have, Melanie?
Well, when we talk about funds, here's a quick update. The president's second term, they expect that the tax, there will be a record tax collection, collect record taxes, nearly $4 trillion here in the next 4 years, four times bigger than in 1989. I was just looking, the federal tax issue, the federal treasury expects to collect a record $2.712 trillion in taxes this year on Americans and U.S. businesses, shattering the 2007 high of $2.5 trillion in taxes. And yet, what does that really do for us, Al?
Well, it funds an agent, it funds an entity that doesn't give a damn if we live or die. At best, you can say they're indifferent to whether we live longer and healthier lives. At worst, you can sit back and argue that they are actually fostering foods and conditions that will shorten our lifestyle, our life expectancy, excuse me. They are fostering that, and they want more taxes so we can have more of the entity that's apparently working, is either indifferent to our health and our longevity or perhaps adverse to that health and longevity. Why do we want to send more money to people that are trying to gut us? Where's the sense in that? If anything, somebody needs to put a cork in these people and tell them enough. Enough. We don't need any more of your alleged help. The government isn't really helping anybody other than itself. That's who they're here to help. We're the government. We're here to help you. No, you're not. You're the government, and you're here to help yourselves. You are not here to help the people, the average American people across this country. They're not here to do it. Special interests, sure. Minorities, yeah. But to some degree, and even they get butchered. Again, we live at a time when people must learn to protect themselves. You have to learn how to survive as an independent man, woman. You have to stop relying on the government. We've got about 30 seconds left. Melody, something you would like to add?
Nope. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, so make sure you tune in and give us a call, folks. We've got the great specials running, Mint State 62 with the Morgan Silver Dollar for $1,830 and the BU British Sovereign for $410. And if you purchase more than 20, we'll drop that price to $405. That's based on yesterday's prices, so even though prices are up today, give us a call, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Adisk with Melody Cederstrom. Until tomorrow, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.